The architecture of intelligence, understanding reinforcement learning through first principles. Introduction, the mental model problem. When we study reinforcement learning, we often encounter a fragmented landscape of concepts, policies, value functions, Q functions, Bellman equations, temporal difference learning. Each seems like an isolated mathematical construct taught through separate derivations and examples. But here's the problem with this approach. It creates brittle understanding. You might memorize the Q-learning update rule or recite the Bellman equation, but when faced with a novel problem, you lack the deep architectural intuition needed to reason about which approach to use and why. Today, we're going to build something different, a unified mental model that reveals how these seemingly disparate concepts are actually different facets of a single, elegant mathematical framework. We'll start from the absolute fundamentals. What does it even mean for an agent to make decisions? And progressively build up to sophisticated algorithms like Q-learning. More importantly, we'll understand the implicit learning mechanisms that make these algorithms work, and why certain design choices lead to convergence guarantees while others don't. This isn't just an academic exercise. The questions we're exploring today, like whether Q-learning learns policies implicitly, or how temporal difference errors can be repurposed across different function approximations, represent the kind of deep architectural thinking that distinguishes engineers who merely implement algorithms from those who design novel learning systems. The foundation. What is a decision problem? Let's start with the most fundamental question. What does it mean to make good decisions over time? Imagine you're controlling a robot that needs to navigate through a warehouse to deliver packages. At each moment, the robot observes its current state, its position, the locations of obstacles, the package it's carrying, and must choose an action from a set of possibilities. Move forward, turn left, pick up package, and so on. The key insight is that the value of any particular action depends not just on the immediate reward it generates, but on all the future opportunities it enables or forecloses. If the robot takes a shortcut through a narrow aisle, it might save time now, but find itself trapped later when carrying a large package. This temporal coupling between decisions is what makes sequential decision-making fundamentally different from single-shot optimization problems. This intuition leads us naturally to the mathematical framework of Markov decision processes. An MDP captures the essence of decision-making under uncertainty by defining four components. A state space representing all possible situations the agent might encounter. An action space representing all possible decisions. A transition function that probabilistically determines how actions change states. And a reward function that provides immediate feedback about the quality of state action pairs. The Markov property, that the future depends only on the present state, not the history of how we arrived there, is what makes these problems tractable. It allows us to think about optimal policies as stationary mappings from states to actions rather than complex functions of entire histories. The Bellman revolution, from infinite horizons to recursive structure. Now we encounter our first major conceptual statement to examine. The Bellman equation is just a measure to change an infinite horizon problem into a recursive function. This statement captures something profound. But let's unpack exactly what's happening here. The challenge in sequential decision-making is that we care about the long-term consequences of our actions, potentially over infinite time horizons. If we tried to optimize this directly, we'd be facing an intractable summation over all possible future trajectories. Richard Bellman's key insight was that we can exploit the recursive structure inherent in optimal decision-making. Here's the intuition. Suppose you're at some state and trying to decide what action to take. The total value you can expect from this state-action pair breaks down into two components: the immediate reward you get from taking this action, plus the discounted expected value of wherever you end up next, assuming you act optimally from that point forward. This recursive structure is captured mathematically in the Bellman equation for state values. The value of a state under policy pi equals the expected sum of immediate reward plus discounted future value. But the elegant part is that discounted future value is just the value function evaluated at the next state, the same function we're trying to define. This self-reference transforms an infinite horizon problem into a fixed-point equation. The practical implication is enormous. Instead of computing infinite sums, we can solve for value functions by finding fixed points of the Bellman operator. This isn't just a computational trick. It's revealing the fundamental recursive structure of optimal decision-making. Every optimal policy has the property that it's greedy with respect to its own value function. Value functions and Q functions, two sides of the same coin. This brings us to a critical architectural distinction that's often glossed over, the relationship between value functions and Q functions. Let's build the intuition carefully. A state value function, denoted V pi of S, answers the question, if I start in state S and follow policy pi, what's my expected cumulative reward? This gives us a single number for each state that summarizes the long-term prospects from that location. A Q function, denoted Q pi SA, is asking a slightly different question. If I start in state S, take action A, and then follow policy pi thereafter, what's my expected cumulative reward? Notice that this gives us a number for each state action pair, not just each state. The relationship between these is straightforward. V pi S is just the expected value of Q pi SA when we sample actions according to policy pi. In other words, the value function is what you get when you average the Q function over the policy's action distribution. But here's where it gets architecturally interesting. Which representation should we work with? If we have Q squied, we can always compute V the pi by averaging. But if we only have V squy, we need the transition model to compute Q values. This asymmetry has profound implications for algorithm design. When we know the dynamics of the environment, the transition probabilities and reward function, we can work with either representation equally well. But in model-free learning, where we're learning purely from experience without knowing the underlying MDP, Q functions become far more powerful. This is because Q functions directly encode the value of taking specific actions, which is exactly what we need for decision-making. The architecture of Q learning, implicit policy learning. Now we can address the core question that motivated this discussion. So for Q learning, the policy and the value function is learned implicitly, right? By learning the Q functions and always taking the most optimal step. This question reveals a deep architectural insight about Q learning that's worth exploring carefully. Yes, Q learning does learn both the policy and value function implicitly, but understanding the mechanism requires us to think about what implicit means in this context. Q learning maintains an explicit representation of the Q function, a table or neural network that maps state action pairs to expected cumulative rewards. The learning algorithm updates these Q values using temporal difference learning, which we'll discuss shortly. But here's the key insight. Q learning never explicitly represents or updates a policy function. Instead, the policy emerges from the Q function through greedy action selection. Pi S equals argmax A QS A. At any moment, the implied policy is to take whichever action has the highest Q value in the current state. This policy isn't stored anywhere. It's computed on demand from the Q function. Similarly, the state value function is implicitly defined as VS equals max A QS A. Again, this isn't computed and stored explicitly. It's derived from the Q function when needed. This architectural choice has several important implications. First, it makes Q learning inherently off policy. The algorithm can learn the optimal Q function even while following a different behavioral policy for exploration. This is possible because Q learning updates are based on the maximum Q value at the next state, not the action that was actually taken. Second, it provides a natural way to handle the exploration-exploitation trade-off. While the underlying Q function converges toward the optimal values, the actual behavior can use strategies like Evagreedy or Boltzmann exploration that balance learning with performance. Third, it explains why Q learning can be sample efficient in environments where the optimal policy is deterministic. Since the algorithm directly learns action values, it doesn't need to maintain probability distributions over actions. It can focus its representational capacity on distinguishing between good and bad actions. The convergence question. When does Q learning work? This brings us to another important statement to examine. Q learning is optimal if we visit each state infinite times. This touches on one of the most important theoretical results in reinforcement learning, but the statement needs some refinement. The correct convergence theorem for Q learning states that the algorithm converges to the optimal Q function under certain conditions. Each state action pair must be visited infinitely often. The learning rate must satisfy specific decay conditions, sum to infinity, sum of squares finite, and the rewards must be bounded. But let's understand why these conditions are necessary from a first principles perspective. Q learning is essentially solving the Bellman optimality equation through iterative updates. Each update moves the Q value for a state action pair closer to its target, the immediate reward, plus the discounted maximum Q value at the next state. The requirement for infinite visits ensures that every Q value gets updated infinitely often. Without this, some parts of the state space might never be learned. The learning rate conditions ensure that early updates have significant impact, while later updates make smaller corrections, allowing the algorithm to converge to a fixed point rather than oscillating. The bounded rewards condition prevents the algorithm from diverging in environments with unbounded rewards. In practice, this is usually satisfied by design. What's particularly elegant about this convergence result is that it doesn't require knowing the environment dynamics. Q learning discovers the optimal policy purely through trial and error interaction, without ever building a model of the environment. However, there's an important practical caveat. The convergence guarantee requires tabular representation, a separate Q value for each state action pair. When we use function approximation with neural networks or other parameterized representations, the convergence guarantees no longer hold in general. This is one of the key challenges in deep reinforcement learning. Temporal difference learning, the engine of efficient learning. Now let's dive into the mechanism that makes Q learning and related algorithms work. Temporal difference learning. The statement we're examining is, TD learning, instead of doing a full rollout, waiting until we have arrived at the final destination, we can do TD learning. We take a step and compare our estimate of the value with the actual value. This captures the essence of TD learning, but let's develop the full architectural picture. The fundamental insight of TD learning is that we can learn value functions incrementally from incomplete episodes by bootstrapping from our current estimates. Consider the alternatives. In Monte Carlo learning, we wait until an episode terminates, then update value estimates based on the actual observed returns. This provides unbiased estimates. The sample return is an unbiased estimate of the true expected return. But it's also inefficient, especially in problems with long episodes or continuing tasks. Dynamic programming methods like value iteration compute exact value functions, but they require complete knowledge of the environment dynamics. This makes them unsuitable for learning from experience. TD learning occupies a sweet spot between these approaches. It updates value estimates after each step, using the current estimate of the next state's value as a proxy for future returns. The TD error, the difference between the target, immediate reward plus discounted next state value, and the current estimate, drives the learning process. What makes this work is that the TD error captures exactly the information needed to improve our value estimates. If our current estimate is too low, the TD error will be positive, causing us to increase the estimate. If it's too high, the TD error will be negative, causing us to decrease it. The architectural beauty of TD learning is its generality. The same TD error computation works for learning state values, Q values, or even more complex value functions. This brings us to another statement to examine. The cool thing about the TD error is that we can use it not only to approximate the value function, but also the Q functions. This is absolutely correct, and it reveals something deep about the structure of value-based learning. The TD error for Q learning has the same form as for state value learning, target minus prediction. The target is R plus Ga max A, Q S pine A prime, and the prediction is Q S A. The same learning mechanism, gradient descent on the squared TD error, can be applied to either problem. This unification extends even further. Actor-critic methods use TD errors computed from state value functions to update policy parameters. Policy gradient methods can incorporate TD errors as variance reduction techniques. The TD error is truly a universal building block for temporal learning. The grand architecture, how everything connects. Now we can address the meta question that motivated this discussion. how do all these reinforcement learning components relate to each other? Let's build the unified mental model. At the foundation, we have the Markov decision process formalism, which mathematically captures the structure of sequential decision-making problems. The Bellman equations define the recursive relationships that optimal value functions must satisfy. Value functions and Q functions are two different ways of representing the same underlying concept: the expected long-term value of states or state-action pairs. The choice between them is architectural. Q functions are more convenient for model-free learning and action selection, while value functions are more compact and easier to learn when you have a model. Temporal difference learning is the computational engine that allows us to learn these value functions from experience. It works by minimizing prediction errors, the difference between what we predicted would happen and what actually happened. This same mechanism scales from simple tabular methods to complex neural network approximations. Policies emerge from value functions through optimization. Given accurate values, the optimal policy is to select actions that maximize expected value. This connection allows algorithms like Q-learning to learn policies implicitly without ever representing policy functions explicitly. The exploration-exploitation trade-off sits on top of this foundation, governing how we balance learning about the environment with acting based on current knowledge. Different exploration strategies, Effigreedy, Boltzmann, upper confidence bounds, represent different solutions to this fundamental trade-off. This unified view reveals why reinforcement learning is so powerful. The same mathematical framework handles diverse problems from game playing to robotics to resource allocation. The same algorithmic primitives, Bellman equations, TD learning, policy improvement, recombine in different ways to create specialized algorithms for different problem structures. Computational complexity, a brief detour. Before we synthesize everything, let's address the general computer science question. What is an NP-hard problem? This connects to our RL discussion in subtle ways. NP-hard problems are those that are at least as difficult as the hardest problems in NP, non-deterministic polynomial time. More precisely, a problem is NP-hard if every problem in NP can be reduced to it in polynomial time. This means that if you could solve any NP-hard problem efficiently, you could solve all NP problems efficiently. The classic example is the traveling salesman problem. Given a set of cities and distances between them, find the shortest route that visits each city exactly once. While it's easy to verify that a proposed route has a certain length, finding the optimal route appears to require exponential time in the worst case. Many reinforcement learning problems are computationally intractable in the worst case. Computing optimal policies for general PomDPs, partially observable MDPs, is PISPACE complete. Even fully observable MDPs with factored state spaces can lead to exponential blowups. This computational intractability is why approximation methods like Q-learning with function approximation are so important. They trade theoretical guarantees for computational feasibility, allowing us to tackle problems that would be impossible to solve exactly. Mental models for sticky understanding. Let's conclude by developing the mental models that will make this knowledge stick. Think of reinforcement learning as having three layers of abstraction. The mathematical layer consists of MDPs, Bellman equations, and optimality conditions. This layer defines what it means to solve a sequential decision problem and provides the theoretical foundation for all algorithms. The algorithmic layer consists of specific learning procedures, Q-learning, policy gradients, actor-critic methods. Each algorithm makes different representational choices and computational trade-offs, but all are instantiations of the same underlying mathematical principles. The implementation layer consists of exploration strategies, function approximation methods, and engineering decisions about representation and computation. This is where theoretical algorithms meet practical constraints. Understanding the connections between layers is crucial. Mathematical results about convergence inform algorithmic design choices. Algorithmic properties like off-policy learning enable implementation strategies like experience replay. Implementation constraints like computational budgets drive research into more sample-efficient algorithms. Another useful mental model is the implicit-explicit spectrum. Q-learning learns policies implicitly through value functions. Policy gradient methods learn policies explicitly through parameterized representations. Actor-critic methods learn both explicitly, with separate representations for policies and values. Understanding where algorithms fall on this spectrum helps predict their strengths and weaknesses. Finally, think about temporal credit assignment, how rewards get attributed to the actions that caused them. Monte Carlo methods provide exact credit assignment but require complete episodes. TD methods provide approximate but immediate credit assignment. This trade-off between accuracy and efficiency runs throughout reinforcement learning. Synthesis, the architecture of intelligent behavior. We began this exploration asking how different reinforcement learning concepts relate to each other. What we've discovered is that they're not separate tools, but components of a unified architecture for intelligence. The Bellman equation transforms infinite horizon optimization into recursive computation. Value functions and Q functions provide different lenses on the same underlying quantity, expected future reward. Temporal difference learning provides the computational mechanism for learning these functions from experience. Policies emerge implicitly or explicitly from learned values. Q learning exemplifies this architectural elegance. By learning Q functions directly, it automatically learns both optimal values and optimal policies. By using temporal difference updates, it can learn efficiently from incomplete episodes. By maintaining separate representations for each state action pair, it can handle stochastic environments without making distributional assumptions. The convergence conditions, infinite visits to each state action pair, ensure that the learning process eventually discovers the optimal values. The implicit policy representation means that the algorithm naturally adapts its behavior as its value estimates improve. This architectural understanding provides more than just academic insight. It gives you the tools to reason about novel problems, adapt existing algorithms, and design new approaches. When faced with a new domain, you can ask, what's the right state representation? Should I learn values or policies explicitly? What exploration strategy makes sense? How can I ensure adequate coverage of the state space? These are the questions that separate algorithmic thinking from mere implementation. They require understanding not just what reinforcement learning algorithms do, but why they work and how their components interact. That's the kind of deep architectural intuition we've built together today, a foundation for creating intelligent systems that learn, adapt, and optimize their behavior over time. The beauty of this framework is its generality. Whether you're training a robot to manipulate objects, optimizing resource allocation in a data center, or teaching an AI to play complex games, you're working within the same mathematical structure. The specific algorithms may vary, but the underlying architecture, MDPs, value functions, temporal difference learning, policy optimization, remains constant. This is what makes reinforcement learning such a powerful paradigm for artificial intelligence. It provides a principled approach to the fundamental challenge of intelligence, how to learn to make good decisions through experience. Understanding its architecture deeply means understanding one of the key building blocks of intelligent behavior itself.